Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Have you ever been lost? Not just taken a wrong turn or the wrong exit or missed the sign or something, but really lost. Like you didn't know where you were, like you knew you went wrong somewhere, but weren't exactly sure where it was or how to get going again, you know. Lost. Granted, it's harder to do these days, as so many of us carry around in our pockets this little device that is there to tell us exactly where we are at any given moment. And so long as we don't route off into a lake or something, we can almost always find our way again, recalculating. So long as the battery is good, so long as the signal is good, so long as the journey we're on is one of roads, we can almost always find our way. Only therein lies the rub, doesn't it? Because not every journey in life is one of roads, which means, as hard as it is to believe, there are some moments in life when we can point exactly to where we are on a map and still find ourselves completely and utterly lost. Maybe some of us are there this morning. Maybe most of us are there this morning, looking around at our world and asking ourselves, how did we get here? Like Miss Clavel in the middle of the night, we know that something's not right. Only we can't exactly articulate it. There's this kind of malaise that seems to have fallen over us, this mistrust, this fear, this deep anxiety that we just don't know exactly where to place. Sure, some of it is the pandemic. It's hard to go through something so strange, so life-altering, to have so many of our normal routines turned on our heads, on their heads, and not find ourselves at least a little unsettled. And with the news of every new variant, from Delta to Omicron, that sense of unease just grows. We find ourselves asking, is this ever going to end? But it's not just the pandemic. If we're really honest, we've been feeling this sense that something's off for quite some time. This malaise, this mistrust, this fear of the other, that's been happening with us for years, hasn't it? We have this innate sense as we look around that where we are as a world, as a nation, as a community, as a church, as individuals, is not where we're supposed to be. Not where we want to be. Not where we ought to be. We're a little lost. And with every school shooting, every act of police brutality, every congressperson disparaging another congressperson, every angry email, every anonymous comment, every failure to look someone in the eye and work it out, every time good people throw up their hands and say, "What can you do?" we veer further off course. Lighting a candle of peace, but deep down not really believing it's possible. And when when that happens, friends, when we find ourselves just going through the motions, keeping our heads down, putting one foot in front of the other, not paying attention to where we are, it doesn't take long before we find ourselves going out of our way. And when we're lost, there are really only two options. We admit it, or not. To be fair, so many of us would prefer the or not. It's a lot easier. It's the equivalent of taking the blue pill. We just put our heads down and we decide, well, everything looks good. I know exactly where I am. I know exactly where I'm going. And this all feels normal. Buying your 15-year-old a semi-automatic weapon, normal. Building up your own personal arsenal, normal. Shutting down the government every 3 months because we can't talk to one another, normal. 800 million people starving in our world while billionaires launch themselves into space, normal. We plug our ears and we close our eyes and we hold our nose and we say, isn't this nice? It's so peaceful. But in our hearts, we know that it's not. We know that it's not true. And we can pretend like it is, but it doesn't make the problem go away. Look, we can sit and argue about a theory that asks us to think critically about race, that asks us to think about how race has played into our social ills, to the social inequities we have. We could even, whether out of cowardice or ignorance, get school boards to vote against it, but in the end, it doesn't make it less true. And if people who looked like me spent even a fraction of the energy they've spent put into not talking about racism, into actually turning to face it, we just might find ourselves a little less lost. But that's the challenge, isn't it? We don't like to talk about these things, especially in church. How many people have said, can we just come and sit here in peace? We hear this all week long. Can we just come and sit for a moment in peace? And the answer is yes, sometimes. But it can't be all the time. If the world is on fire, we can't come in here and pretend like we don't smell like smoke, especially when we have something that might help dampen the flames. You've heard me say before, I could come in and preach cotton candy every single week. And some people would love it. They'd prefer it. It'd make my life a lot easier and my family's life a lot easier. To never talk about anything that might upset someone, to never deal with anything that really matters, never anything that might just make us a little uncomfortable. The church might even grow. But in the end, no body can survive on sugar alone, especially not the body of Christ. To talk about Jesus outside of the world in which we now live is to ignore the promise of the incarnation. It's to miss the point of the gospel entirely. See, Jesus, as contrary to popular belief, wasn't killed for telling people to love one another. He was killed for standing up to those oppressive systems that were harming people in his world. And newsflash, they didn't like it then any more than we like it now. We're here to be able to talk about the hard things when everybody else can't. That's why we're a church. Not that we have it all figured out, we don't. But we're here to try and figure it out together. The hope of the gospel, the promise of the gospel, is good news for the lost. That is, it is good news for us. But the only way to embrace it, the only way to have our lives changed by it, is to be willing to admit that where we are is not where we long to be. And then to work together to decide which way from here. Fortunately, we can get some help from those who came before. The second Sunday of Advent every year, we do two things. We light the candle of peace, and we tell the story of John the Baptist. The story of John the Baptist is one of those few stories in our Gospels that is told in all four of them. All four talk about this man who went to the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, who gave his entire life to help others prepare the way of the Lord. We've heard about the wilderness before if we've been following along in Scripture. It's that place of uncertainty. It's that place where we're not quite sure where we're going. It's that place where so many of us feel lost. We hear it right from the very beginning. We hear it with Abraham and Sarah. We hear it with Moses and the Hebrew people. We hear it with David and Elijah and Elisha. And about a month, we'll hear it again when Jesus, right after he's baptized, heads to the wilderness. Only what we sometimes forget is that it's in that place of wilderness, that uncertain place, when people tend to hear God speaking the most. Even in our passage for today, it says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness when the word of God came to him. Maybe some of you out there know the feeling. Maybe you know what it's like to find yourself a little lost in life, to be at one of those low moments and suddenly understand, suddenly have some kind of clarity. Sure, maybe it comes in a voice, but maybe not. Maybe it's just finally having an epiphany. We have to go low sometimes to finally find our way forward. In other words, sometimes, in order to get from where we are to where we long to be, we have to go through the wilderness. Sometimes we have to be willing to get a little lost. I think we know the feeling. Only when we're lost, if we want to get going again, we have to choose a direction to head. John the Baptist offers that today. In the absence of a pillar of fire that will go before us, sometimes the only way to get going again when we're lost is to find a point in the horizon, some fixed point out there that is straight away, and just take the first couple of steps towards it. Though to be clear, we have to be careful about which point we choose. Maybe you know the story about the little boy who's trying to learn how to plow a field. And his dad comes to him and he says, look, all you have to do is pick a point in the horizon and follow it. That will help you keep a straight line. And then a couple of hours later, the father comes back and he sees that the line is waved all over the field. And he asks his son, what happened? Didn't I tell you to pick a point in the distance? At which point his son says, Daddy, I did, but the rabbit kept moving. If we want to find our way, we have to pick a point on the horizon that won't hop away from us. Which means it can't be political ideology that shifts from day to day, sometimes minute to minute. It can't be money or sex or position or power or privilege or success or grades, because all of those things are fleeting. If we want to find our way again, and I believe we do, then we're going to have to find something out there when all else falls away that won't crumble. John the Baptist is showing us what it is. He suggests it. It's the way of the Lord. The good news is we know that way, don't we? It's not a secret. We tell it every Sunday. We speak it every Sunday from there or from here. We know the way of the Lord. It's the way of love. And while that sounds really nice, all sunshine and roses, that's not the kind of love we're actually talking about. It's not romantic love. It's not the kind of love that just tells us what we want to hear. It's the kind of love that tells us the truth. It makes us stand up when we'd rather sit down, go when we'd rather stay, speak when it'd be so much easier to just stay quiet. But it's also the kind of love that leads to life. We know the way. But there's no device in our pocket that is going to tell us when we start to go off. That's why we have each other. Look, that's what a church is. We're people who come together and recognize that we're not perfect, but we're more perfect together than we are apart. We're people who are going to commit to one another to keep pointing each other in the way. The earliest Christians were called people of the way. This is who we are. We keep walking alongside one another. What do I say in every baptism that we do here? When I walk that child up or down the aisle, I say, these are the people who are going to be here to help support you so that along the journey of life, should you stumble or should you fall, they will help you get on your feet again. And all we ask is that you do the same for us. We are people who are going to walk alongside one another to find our way. But it's going to take leaning into a little grace. You remember grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Look, none of us are at our best right now. It's hard to be when you're lost. None of us are at our best. I'm not. So we're going to have to lean into a little grace with one another to find our way again. It means giving people the benefit of the doubt. It means not assuming the worst, but the best. It means pausing before we send that email, before we post that comment, before we share that gossip that is so juicy. Look, contrary to what the pundits say, the people who think differently than us are not our enemies. And frankly, even if they were, we are called to love them. That's how radical this way of the Lord actually is. Which means that it's okay to sit in the same pew with people who think differently than us. It's okay that your preacher will say things from time to time that you disagree with. It's okay to not have this all figured out. That's why we're here. Look, we're Methodists. John Wesley said, if your heart is like my heart, take my hand. Seems like John the Baptist was trying to say something similar. He was trying to remind us that despite all else that is going on in this world, despite feeling completely and utterly lost, here's the good news. We don't have to think the same way to face in the same direction. Do you hear? We don't have to think the same way to face in the same direction. And when we can all do that, when we can all point in that direction to the way of Christ, to the way of love, then as Isaiah said, it's a funny thing, the straight path will become clear. that all of those things we're convinced are such obstacles to our finding our way again will suddenly not fade away. They will suddenly disappear. That is, the valleys shall be made low, the mountains, the valleys will be filled, the mountains made low, the crooked ways made straight, and the rough ways made plain. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. As disciples of Jesus Christ, friends, we're only lost if we forget the way. Have we? If not, then which way from here? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.